You're listening to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media. You can find out more about the resource and construction industry, including how to communicate consciously with your stakeholders at resourceindustrymedia.com.au.
Welcome to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media and Connecting Industry. I'm Kieran Moran. The Connecting Industry Podcast series is designed to tell the stories of the people who work in the resource and construction sector throughout Australia. It's our goal for these podcasts to not only keep you up to date with the latest resource and construction news, information and procurement opportunities, but most importantly, build relationships between you and our guests so you can connect with their stories and get a better understanding of how to communicate and tell your business story right. On this week's Connecting Industry Podcast, we have Anthony Growantwood, Managing Director of Multi-Trade Building Hire. Founded in 1979, Multi-Trade Building Hire has over 40 years' experience providing quality portable building solutions for the gas, civil, construction and mining sectors. With a focus on comprehensive safety standards and procedures, Multi-Trade is committed to maintaining an industry-leading work practices and procedures. Welcome, Anthony, to the program.
Thanks for having me, Kieran.
Okay, I'm going to start off at the very start in some respects, but it's not the very start of your life, but the very start maybe of your working life. Something in common we may have, but you used to be a plumber.
Yeah, guilty as charged. I did my apprenticeship with a small business with Richie's Gas and Plumbing, and yeah, before coming back to Multi-Trade, continued on with him for a couple of years after my time.
Yeah, as I said then, I used to be a plumber as well. It's sort of, and Anthony and me were just talking just a second ago before we got onto the podcast, and I was saying how one of my best mates I got a job with when I was 16, 17, he's now a multimillionaire. I can't claim that, but anyway, you move on. It's the lives that we all travel, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly laid some good foundations for future. I think all the trades offer such good exposure to so many different skill sets. I really enjoyed my time as a plumber, mind you. I'm happy to not be doing it nowadays.
Yes, yes. Well, God knows it has changed over the years. I look at stuff now and I go, what the hell? But anyway, it's been 30 years since I've been there. Okay, then. Well, let's get into, so it's Multi-Trade Building Hire, of course, but Multi-Trade. So let's start from the beginning. Like you said, so you're, from what I know, the business started around about 1979, and it was your father who did start the business, and it was Multi-Trade is one brand, and then Multi-Trade Building Hire, so with the contractors on the Multi-Trade side. And as you just said there, the reason I'm asking you this and some of that interest there is you got into plumbing, then you sort of went back working into the business, or was it the first time you started working in the business after you did your apprenticeship?
No, I started my apprenticeship originally with the company, but just got too good at concreting for being a plumber. So that's when I went and seeked some other areas to go and finish my time in. But yeah, the company started originally in 79 as a building contractor, and in the interest of diversification went on then to build a building hire fleet, transportable buildings, which is what we specialise in today. However, we still run our own building contracting team, which specialises in the installation of our own buildings and refurbishment of our own buildings, whilst also doing some other building contracting works around the place as well.
One of the things that we do talk about on this program now and then is the diversification. Everybody sort of has to do it in business. Now, I suspect it was your father who diversified at that time, but can you remember anything about that time and why he may, or if you were involved in that, that the business went that way?
Yeah, the stories was retold from him many a times. It was basically a case of he was installing some buildings for another client and they were very substandard, and the project manager on the job basically gave him an ultimatum of, you pack up all your stuff and leave along with all of their buildings, or you go and find me some buildings. And fortunately, you know, one of the people they were installing for had sort of let out what the secret sauce was in how to work out what a building costs and what one rents for, and he put two and two together and from there started growing a building fleet.
And we know that Colonel Sanders has that secret sauce. Can you tell us what that secret sauce is?
I'll keep that one pretty close to my chest today, but it's pretty straightforward.
Fair enough. It's about really in the end, yeah, good product, good service, and the capabilities to be able to achieve it, just like any good business in that respect. Well, so diversifying is good. And so, how did that build up over the years?
So for a long time, then after that period, we were a building contracting company working to support the growth of a building hire fleet. Any money earned would be certainly getting pumped straight back into trying to grow a hire fleet. And then over time, it's progressed and changed into a hire fleet or a hire company that supports a building contractor company so that we can have that service available. But we've seen in some times with some of the downturns where we've gone back to being a building contracting business as a primary part of our income, as the market just hasn't been there on the hire industry. So I think you've just got to have that flexibility in your business.
And that's also another interesting part. So with the diversifications and the booms and busts and things go up and down and being able to move with it, it's always a challenge for any business. But you also got to, you know, make sure within your business planning that you are able to do that. And so, okay, Central Queensland is where you're predominantly based, but you do pretty much a lot of Queensland, all over Queensland and also into New South Wales as well with multi-trade building hire and so forth. But tell us a little bit of how when you just mentioned there in relation to the some of the downturns and going a little bit back and forth and so forth, tell us a little bit about that and how the company did move with all that and what was going on, I suppose, at that time.
Well, they can scare you when no one rings a bell and lets you know that the tap's going to be turned off.
Mm.
And when it falls, it can fall quickly. We've been fortunately, the company's always been quite conservative in its views. And I think you just have to have that protection around behind you for those downturns. They do come, but they don't last forever.
Okay, and you're mainly, was it this start, so at the moment yourself are based in the Gladstone region in central Queensland. Is that where the whole business did start?
Yeah, the business has been based in Gladstone since 1979, bought out another older contracting firm called DC Kendricks back then, and the name changed to Multitrade, which was an electrical contractor that then grew into being a building contractor and then, as we've mentioned, into the building hire industry. So we're in Gladstone primarily, and then we also have a yard in Emerald. However, our product is made to go on the back of trucks. So 4 or 5 years ago, we had projects strung from Glen Innes to Darwin.
Okay, yeah, across the board. And we have a listener to this throughout Australia, predominantly Queensland, but throughout Australia as well, and even overseas now and then. Now, Gladstone's a very different economy, isn't it? I want to give people a bit of a feel of in relation to how Gladstone does. It's gone through its boom and bust, and sometimes it can be very different to even Brisbane's economy in relation to the way things do work here. And I'm just interested to hear of your experience within that and how the industry moves with that.
I love working in Gladstone and Gladstone's economy. I think it's a super kind town to businesses. It's very much a town where most of the business owners I know through this town are interested in helping people especially when they're coming up in business. The economy here is quite steady. There's always something to do. And with a population base of 60,000 in the greater region, nowhere with a population that base with that size challenges the amount of industry in one area as we have. It's always been great to us. You do have some quiet periods and we do see some boom bust periods as far as employment and labour here, but none of those are any challenges that we've ever found to be too negative in the past.
Yeah, it's all about learning to move with it generally. And as you said, it is a very kind town in some respects to business. And I do know yourself, you've supported a lot of businesses throughout the region and assisted them. And like you said, especially some businesses that have only just started or in the process over a couple of years of starting. Why do you sort of get involved? What's the sort of advice that you do give there? Or how do you motivate people? Many people do different things to be motivated on a daily basis, but also to understand business and how to work within the region. What's some of the advice that you can give there to some maybe up-and-coming companies?
Well, I think with most of them, just answer your phone.
Yep.
And do as you say you're going to do. And I think most people do that quite well. Yeah, we've found the quality of the people and the businesses in town here, I think, is excellent. The town's got such a strong emphasis on quality and obviously having to attract people here. So many companies here have such a good focus on culture. I think it's, most of them just, we all just enjoy just having a coffee and catching up for a chat, I think.
Yeah, it's not too bad. And that's the beauty of, I remember I speak to my sister. She's in Melbourne, travels 9 kilometres to get to her work office. It takes around about 45 minutes here. You're lucky to go through 2 traffic lights and a roundabout. You're there in 5. It's the beauty of living regional in that respect. So, okay, multi-trade building hire. So you're predominantly, from what I can see, of course, Gladstone, Central Queensland, fairly strong within the mining, new projects as well and so forth. And, of course, we've got the ports and that. But you mainly work in the gas, civil, construction and mining sectors?
Yeah, correct. Mining, oil and gas and any other heavy industries. We stay out of the workforce accommodation industry. We predominantly specialise in site facilities, so toilets, lunchrooms, offices, those side of arrangements there.
And what's one of the main criteria is when someone comes to you and asks for something, like it's easy to say, oh, I need a building, but what do they sort of ask for, in relation to, you can have really bad toilets, of course, and you want people to be able to have nice toilets when they are at their work sites and I imagine you set up in complete office sites as well on work sites. But what's some of the requirements that they do ask for?
Toilets is a great one. Acceptable solutions for toilets nowadays, and where people have raised the standards for their team. You don't often see the old portaloo allowed out on most of our industrial sites anymore. So we've had to move with the times there, and we've got some great solar powered toilet units, standalone, that have their own waste tank underneath and water supply on the rear of the toilet. And when you go into one of those, it feels like it is a full flushing normal toilet in a normal room, fully insulated building. And those sort of standards have really lifted over time. Certainly we've seen the expectations from clients in regards to what's acceptable for offices and lunchrooms as well now. Around with COVID, a lot of the emphasis was on how much space per person was allowed. So, we were in the business of hiring out space. That was quite good for business, but it also brought to a lot of people's attention going forward. As we go back to a bit more normal standards, the hygiene and cleanliness and space inside our product is a really major consideration from a lot of our clients now.
And that is interesting I was going to say funny, but in how COVID has changed many things in that respect. So even in relation to the space that is provided, and okay, let's go back before COVID, or let's go back 10 years or 15 years. So what you're saying is that there was a lot of smaller spaces at that time, which, I've worked on sites, of course, and in relation to, I remember some small spaces, small crib rooms that you squeeze into, basically, and also small offices. But I actually did have the privilege, probably around about 10 years ago, of working on a site that did have was supplied by yourselves with the office buildings. And they were quite big and spacious at that time, and we could fit quite a few people in them, and the separate side offices as well with them. But how have you explained to me a little bit about that space, of how that has changed?
Yeah, so a 12-metre by 3-metre open plan office, real common one in our industry, 36 square metres. In a typical construction field, they would fit 8 people, and that would be largely seen as 8 to 10 people in there, and that would be largely accepted. Come the COVID period, when the constraints come in, they were only allowed to put 4 in there because they had to have their 9 square metres per person. So that really changed the requirements for buildings. And then we had things like separated lunchrooms, because they would run A and B crews. So they couldn't interact and couldn't commingle in the same space, or, even if they're on separate shifts, couldn't be using the same space. So we, like everyone, panicked at the start. With the whole COVID period, we all bunkered down very quickly and thought it was going to be quite disastrous for us. But it turned out not to be too bad, in the respect that everyone really had to produce some extra space on site for people to work in. And I think that has set a new standard for a lot of workers now. Obviously, it's not going to be as extreme as it was through the COVID period, but people are now have a bit of an acceptance that they're entitled to a little bit more space in their office area. And lunchrooms as well, those have also started to see a bit of a fall in the amount of numbers that people are putting into an area. And that's back to part of their, you know, retention and the expectations that the workers have on site now as well.
Yeah, it is great to, with what you just said there, and like COVID, you know, it was disastrous for a lot of people, and commiserations to those people, but not to take it out. In my own business itself and a number of others that we've spoken to on this podcast, it's more about looking at the opportunities that respect. Now, this is might have been a surprising opportunity for yourself, but it's great to see a lot of companies have moved with COVID, and it's actually things have got better and also created a lot more opportunities for people. One thing I've also noticed, I can remember many years ago walking, and I actually think I did notice this about probably 10 years ago, coming onto sites, even the walkways, the outside walkways. I remember walking in a lot of dirt years ago, and that, you know, that'd be going back to my plumbing days as well in Melbourne and so forth. But at the same time, that's one thing that has changed as well, which is also conformed with a lot of safety these days.
Yeah, we love our deck modules for our building. So we have a hardwood timber decked, mobile decked deck module, which is built on the same chassis as our buildings, and we can elevate the buildings and the site all to one level. So you only ever come up one set of stairs. You're not going up and down a set of stairs, changing from building to building. And we can put the whole area onto one level and have all the decks covered. And it really helps the life of our buildings as well, because it kicks the dirt and dust and rocks off people's boots while they're on the decks. And as far as a workplace health and safety issue, yeah, they could just about work safely getting around there on roller skates. It really changes the environment.
Yeah, that's one thing I do remember as well. Yeah, the muddy crib rooms in the relation to walking through it. And as I said, that was Melbourne, but also up here in Queensland, a lot of rain, a lot of mud. And so you've got to try to stop that as much as possible, because it makes them awful, actually, a lot of those rooms when I think about it.
The cleaners and the Peggies absolutely love when we get to site and do the installations with the deck modules and have everything raised up to one level. It cuts their work down by a huge amount.
Can you name, well, you don't have to name it, of course, but can you think of a, what's one of the most enjoyable projects that you've done, one of the biggest setups maybe that you've done, or the most proudest setup that you've done for a company?
We've done so many great ones over the years. Certainly the Triple M office complex here for the joint venture for the wharf build at Wiggins Island.
Yep.
That was a fantastic facility that was put in down there as far as all things encompassing. I think we had office there for 48 people to memory, with a variance of open plan area with cubicles to some closed offices for some project management and engineering. And then they just had some great meeting rooms and facilities on that site. That was, and a lot of concreted pathways and that. That one was a pretty special site. Some of the others are just due to the challenges on the remoteness. We did a lot down outside of Roma in the gas fields down at Yoromba Creek and Spring Gully, and yeah, remote sites in a boom period. So materials and everything else is hard to get, and other equipment. And we've always had our team for a long time. Our guys just put in such good quality work down in those areas. It just this ran seamlessly, which those I was really proud of through those periods.
Yeah, I can actually remember Wiggins Island. I've had at the time when that was all coming up, and I had a couple of meetings there myself. So, yeah, I do remember that quite well, and I was quite impressed when I walked in. That was quite large as well. So, well done on that one. Let's get back to yourself. What motivates you, basically? You know, it's difficult to be in business. What excites you in business? How do you get out? You know, everyone has to get out of bed every morning and so forth. That, but what are some of the challenges that you might face yourself? But you know, in remaining positive in business, is there any sort of techniques that you have to be able to achieve that?
Helping team, I enjoy that. We're a small family business, and we're you know, invested in our people without, you know, living right in their lives while they're at work in work hours. I really enjoy investing in them and trying to help them grow, and yeah, it may mean that they grow to a point where they leave us. That's fine. That's another big tick from our side when that does happen, if we help them on their path that way. Yeah, the team and the culture side, I really enjoy that, and look, like all people, I think I love the bit of the sales side as well. There's often no better feeling than when you get a decent win across the line in the sales side.
With what you just talked about with the culture, and it's like when you said family. So I've been speaking to a couple companies lately, especially within the, everyone's trying to attract the right workers at the moment. So within the industry, especially, within civil and so forth. And, the question is, well, why should people come and work for you? Are you just selling the same thing as the next company, or are you just paying more money? Is that why? Which a lot of people, of course, we're attracted to money, but at the same time, it is about culture. And one of those companies that I know is working really well, and I won't name them, but a lot of people do feel like they're actually part of the family. And that's the words that we do hear from some of the workers that are working there at the moment. So what do you do within the culture? How do you sort of work that and make that work for your employees?
I think a lot of it's just being as normal as possible.
Yep.
Just treating them with respect. We never see a raised voice through our workplace. It just doesn't have a need to exist at all. The people are competent. You've employed them on the basis that they are competent, and you've done your due diligence and checks. So yeah, you've got no one else to blame at that point in time if something isn't right. And just encouraging them to do things together, simple things. Like, we have a barbecue pretty well every Friday when the guys are in town. And that just does such small things to keep them all together and to have a chat. And if anyone's wants to raise any issues, it creates that environment that they can get it out. We've been fortunate. We've really not had too many issues with staff retention at all. Our team's been together for a long time. Normally, we'd only really lose someone due to retirement. When we bring someone in, they enjoy the environment when they come in.
Okay, in relation to one of the last questions, but in relation to Gladstone and what you're seeing at the moment, and Central Queensland and Queensland, how is business looking? What do you feel everything is moving towards at the moment? People talk about the recession, but there's always opportunities in recession. You can believe it or you don't believe it, or you don't even consider it. But what do you think the future is for the region?
Gladstone historically has been fairly anti-cyclical. The rest of the world can be on fire, and he's having the time of its life.
That's right.
I'm hoping that's going to be the same this time around. I think we'd all like to see a couple of the promises that we've had in the region progress just a little further and a little more definite. But in saying that, that's never been the case previously either. So there's certainly a lot of upside here at the moment. You'd know yourself from the people that we're seeing through town at the moment. And we're starting to see some of that inquiry for longer lead projects at the moment, which is quite pleasing to see. So I think the environment's quite positive in the region at the moment, and I think it'll be one of the more positive stories around the country over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I'd have to agree there as well. And it's I'll speak to one bloke only recently, and he wasn't too positive. And in the end, you just have to be, if you want to get up every day and push it and make the region, I believe work, a lot of work exists from positiveness. But of course, the reality there is another different question. But anyway, Anthony, we're at the end of the podcast. Thank you very much for joining us. For those that would like to get on to you, they just go to your website, multitrade.com.au.
That's the easiest way, yep. If any, or you can get us through the Facebook page. It's got some great content on it as well. And all the other avenues like YouTube and the rest, we've got plenty of information on us. But if you hit us through the website, we'll get back to you.
Thanks very much for joining us today.
All right, thank you for having me. Cheers, Kieran.
You've been listening to the Connecting Industry Podcast interview series with Kieran Moran from Resource Industry Media. To find out more about the resource and construction industry, including past podcasts, news and events, go to resourceindustrymedia.com.au.